My resin board. Resin pieces.
No. Look, your stretch goals, yeah.
They would look so good.
But I don't think that draws anybody to the game. I don't think that draws people to the game. Oh, that's a pretty board. There's lots of games out there that do that already. There's a dozen, hundred abstract games that just are just pretty.
I would buy them all.
You haven't. You haven't even bought, like...
I don't even know what they are.
The games you keep telling me like are in your shopping cart online that are really great and you use as a reference every week.
Listen, that game's expensive.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we try to run up the score instead of ending the game. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
We played Harmonies last week.
We did. We went to the game parlor. We played. We had waffles.
Oh, the waffles are good.
Harmonies was a game that I have been seeing a lot of online. People just posting about it. I've seen things on Reddit. I've seen things on Board Game Geek, and I wanted to try it. Visually, it's appealing. I really like the art style of it. When we played it, what did we say right away?
I think you said it's Animal Kingdom meets Currents.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I felt like. It was a good mashup of the two. We're playing, we're having a good time, and I am totally dominating the two of you. I am in complete control. I have no idea what I'm doing. I sat down after the first turn. I think Jeff had asked me, do you have any idea what you're doing? No, not at all. By the middle of that game, I was dominating. I didn't count up the points to like verify that, but it felt like I was dominating. It just felt, things felt good. I had a chance to end the game one round earlier than we did. And I was like, nah, let's keep going. I'm just going to keep getting points. So we play another round. And in that round, somehow you guys managed to catch up and then go past me in points. It's possible I was never winning to begin with, but it felt like I was way ahead.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? I think if I ended the game a round earlier, I would have won. I would have won by a lot.
Clearly, we'll just have to go back and play it again. We've been thinking a lot about the complexity in the volume and number of branching decisions that appear in Currents. When we were playing Harmonies, I also felt like there was a large number of decisions that admittedly you could choose to ignore, but you had your tiles that you could select from a pool. There were like six options of three. So you had to like look to decide which pieces you want, which card from the market you were trying to build towards, and which one you were going to select. And then you had to design where are you putting all of those things on your grids. And you had to consider like, well, what's the shape that the card that I'm considering? And the number of possibilities just ballooned in my head. And then there was that extra little scorecard that was like, oh, you score points for this, 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 and this. And I was like, how am I going to track and hold all of that information? It was a very broad. The complexity was so spread out that like, I think that was challenging for me, but also like it was easy to be, I don't need to worry about this piece, and this piece. And I just reduced my decisions by ignoring things.
Sometimes how you play Currents.
That hurts.
Funny, I didn't think a lot about it while we were playing, but you're right. It has a board. You know, we have a 5x5 grid. I don't know how many spots were on those boards, but it had to be more than that, at least five down, and it was more than five wide. So there were more spots on the board to play, and you were trying to make patterns, and some of the patterns were just two, and some of the patterns were more, some were four. And you could, if you wanted to, take your three pieces and place them anywhere. Like you had that control, just like you do in Currents in our game. You can just put a piece in the corner if you want, way off to the side. You're allowed to do that. The complexity piece for me that was different was in Currents, the board is always changing because of whatever move that you're going to make that I can't account for yet. And in Harmonies, you're kind of playing your own board. When you pull tiles, you don't then change something on my board for me. You do affect the colors that I can grab, like there was a turn where you took the pieces I wanted. So I had to choose different colors and then I had to go for a different pattern. So it doesn't have that like head-to-head complexity that I think is the head-racking. But you're right, you know, thinking about it, you know, building the patterns and building your board and being limited by previous choices you've made, there is a lot of complexity in harmonies. It's got stacking. It goes up levels, just like currents.
What do you think makes the complexity of harmonies either more palatable to you or less intensely in your face than what we're working with in currents?
Well, it's like I said, I play something and then you play something and then you undo what I did and the board is completely different than I thought it was going to be. And in harmonies, once you place a tile or whatever they're called, a meeple, a wooden piece, that's where it goes. You can't move it. It doesn't change. So you can plan better.
I also wonder if there's something to the immediacy of when you make the mistake in currents, often you lose. Whereas you so elegantly pointed out that I was crushing this whole game and we were three of us. You ended up in which place?
Third.
But it wasn't immediate. And so you had this sense through the entire game of like, oh, I'm doing great. This is awesome. And so there's a difference in the way the complexity either does or does not affect your experience as a player.
Sure. But I think that just comes down to what I was saying about the tile movement rules. Once you place a tile, it stays in harmonies. When you place a tile in currents, it pushes another tile, and then that tile can be moved as well. So nothing's locked until later in the game. Things can be locked and unreachable and unmovable, but that usually takes some time and it happens later in the game. And then that leads into the other problem that we've talked about, which is the feel. You make one mistake in currents, you lose the game, as you said. In harmonies, that's not the case. You can make a mistake early on and then rebound and catch back up. Or maybe you can turn that mistake into something good down the road. Like you find a way to add on to that, or you make a pattern, a card out of that later on. That's really not the case in currents. And you're constantly just going, I don't want the other person to win. How do I stop them from winning? What are they trying to do? I'm not trying to do my thing. I'll just stop them from winning. It creates like a really weird feel to the game. And I didn't feel that way playing harmonies. I just felt like, oh, I'm trying to build my tableau.
I think one of the things that harmonies hangs its hat on that we've talked about and have discussed, but haven't really given the time of day to really consider what the implications would be, is I do think harmonies leaned pretty heavily into its theme in that your tableau was an island that you were building up the different landscapes that you were then going to use to score to attract animals. The question then becomes, does currents need a theme that it can hang its hat on that we can then use to develop and massage the mechanics in a way such that we create more of the player experience that we want for the game?
Yes. End of podcast. See you next time.
No, but before we really litigate that discussion, let's take a moment and have a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by Spielmas. Spielmas is a holiday festival celebrated by playing a tabletop game each night between December 26th and December 31st. Spielmas was founded in 2020 by Greg Poole when the pandemic forced him to find a new gaming group online. Craig's hope is the idea of Spielmas will spur you to find your old friends and connect with them online. Call them up, teach them a game, make up for lost time, and celebrate. For more information on Spielmas, visit spielmas.com, spielmas.com. 6 nights, 6 games, 1 festival.
Where are we? Where are we?
Where are we? See how that's done?
It's pretty good.
Go on.
Previously on The Misplay, we just asked, does currents need a theme? Jason said yes, end of podcast.
Yes.
Mark said, no, let's discuss. So Jason, I brought you a new game. It's a lovely game. You taught it to me. I'm going to reteach it to you with my rebranding. New mechanic. New twist.
Okay.
Maybe a new theme. It's called Jason Can't Possibly Disagree.
Oh, I see what you did. Ah, yes, the classic. Jason Can't Possibly Disagree. Based on the now famous game, Mark Can't Possibly Disagree.
Let's set up the game, just like a good teach would, right?
Sure.
We've been testing. We've been getting a lot of player feedback. And we've been trying to solve around kind of these three questions. We want to simplify the complexity of currents. We would love to have balanced tile mechanics. And we're seeking a player experience that's different than what the game currently delivers to players.
That good old type 2 fun.
Not my favorite, but I really like the game. And so I just wish it could deliver something different. It feels like we're at a little bit of a spot where we could continue kind of taking feedback that we've received, making changes, go back, get more feedback, play test internally, and kind of continue in this, what I would argue is an effective loop for change. But we haven't really found the changes that we want for the game in this process. So what if we look at a different perspective and ask the question of, can we solve some of these problems by adding a theme and really discussing, like, what are the things that having a theme would allow us to change or guide us towards? So to connect us to our past podcast and our previous show format where we played Mark Can't Possibly Disagree, let's play Jason Can't Possibly Disagree. So here it is. Jason Can't Possibly Disagree. The theme of currents is dead, irrelevant, and unnecessary to the game.
Been waiting for this. I don't believe that's true.
It's a reasonably good impression.
Thank you. I don't think it's true. But as the game always worked, I had to make my case first. You're going to make your case why theme is unnecessary.
Hear me out. Themes pop in different places in a game. You can have the theme exist through the words in the text. You can have the theme exist in the way the mechanics execute and present the theme. You can have the theme represented in the components of the game, and you can have the theme represented in the components of the game. Let's start with words and text. Currents has its rules text, and then a legend.
Well, not even the legend, the player aid.
No, the legend for the patterns.
There's no words on it.
You're going to call it something.
Sure, but there's no words on it. But we're going to call everything something, right?
I guess. Well, even more to my point, the legend doesn't even have a word on it.
Right.
Themeless. There's no words or text to guide your vision or understanding of a theme that could be imposed on currents through the words and the text of the game. We designed it without a theme mechanics. The original design was very formulaic. It was very input-output. This tile does this. This tile does this. This tile does this. This is what the game does. Here's the objective. Go forth and play. Devoid of theme.
I'm the principal engineer of that strategy, yes.
And I would even say, like, even before it was Currents, when you came with the Dying Planet game that eventually became Currents, the mechanics for the Dying Planet version were already abstracted from the theme. You needed story and world building and text and all of these other things that weren't going to be present in the game in order to create the theme of a dying world. Like, it was a very compelling, it was a lovely little story. I was like really getting into it. Nothing about the way that that version of the game played had anything to do with the Dying Planet.
Correct.
We've built the game in this abstract conceptual land from like the egg portion. This is not a chicken or egg question. It is very clear. The abstraction of the mechanics came first.
Yes, of course.
If we have no theme or world to live in our text and no theme and world to live in our mechanics, the last place you could look is to live in the theme and the mechanic in our components. What are our components? We have a board. We have tiles. The board is literally what we've defined as a 5x5 area where the game unfolds. What are the tiles? Are they rocks? Are they stars? Do those connect in any way to the themes that we've previously discussed, whether it's a water theme or whether it's a constellation and stars theme? on some level, you're like, and you've said before, it doesn't matter what the theme is, just put one on there. But it very clearly matters because, like, what are the tiles? What is the board? Like, in Harmonies, the board was your island. The pieces that you picked up and put on top of each other were trees and mountains that you were building. I would argue, we don't have those things for our tiles and our board. And if we've made it this far, we don't need them for our tiles and our board. Because what I think we could do, and I've talked about this before, and it's been my kick since Gen Con, is I think you could say, this is just a beautiful abstract game. Make a nice looking board, get nice looking pieces, and let the game unfold and let kind of, I think this would alleviate some of the type 2 problem for me. Let this beautiful shifting mass of shape and color unfold on the board while you play. And at the end of the game, even if I have oopsed, I lost, I've had this beautiful unfolding of color and motion and pattern and strategy unfold before my eyes. I rest my case.
Any witnesses you want to call?
I would call Amsabat and Peter, who both said that the ship has sailed on having a theme for this game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would challenge that saying a ship has sailed is too much of imposing a theme on this already existing game.
Okay. For the defensive theme, we now call Jason to the floor stand. I'm not a lawyer. I have no idea where you go. My primary reason is very catchy. It's a good one, especially in the world we live in where, you know, memes win the day. My defense is very simple. Abstract is boring.
Objection.
Overruled.
Speculation.
No, overruled. I know that much. Abstract is boring.
You're an attorney. You're not the judge.
I didn't interrupt you.
Yes, you did.
Overruled.
Go ahead.
I do think it's ironic coming from me, as I am the person who has pushed us this far along without a theme. I've also famously said that I would play Magic the Gathering or Eternal, the game that we previously played, without any art and just black and white text, and I don't care about any of the pictures, and I just care about whether or not my number is greater than your number when I attack you. But I think there's a lot of games like ours that exist that don't have a theme. And I think it's really hard to get noticed without a theme. And I think theme gives players a hook, not only in that first impression sense, but also a hook for how to understand the game and how to play the game. I think the theme should coincide with the mechanics to make the tile movements even easier to understand and more clear to somebody who's playing the game. When they move a tile, they go, oh yeah, that makes sense, because in the currents or in the sky, wherever we might land, it goes with it. It makes sense. Right now, we're trying to form a secret pattern in our game. Why?
Oh, you want an answer?
Why? I think the theme is going to answer that question. I think a player is going to be playing this game and like, oh, I'm just making this secret pattern. What is it? I don't know. It's nothing. It's abstract. So I think having a theme to answer that question is pretty important. I think it's going to draw players in to wanting to make their pattern, whatever it is, whether it's things in the water, whether it's in the sky. I think knowing that's important, and theme gives that answer. Let's throw out some of the themes that we've discussed already. One of those is currents. We used it primarily for Gen Con. We needed to have a name for the game. Abstract wasn't great. We went with currents to give it this idea of things moving in water. That was way back when you pitched the theme called Plenty of Fish. We've also talked a lot about, when you came back from Gen Con, this idea of startography, where you are building constellations in the sky. I think that can be really beautiful. One of the ways we're thinking about how the game is played is, what would an AI model do trying to play this game? There are incredibly optimal things to do that we don't know how to do yet, but AI would figure that out in terms of, especially with stacking and setting up something to be removed and revealed later. And so we had this idea of some sort of like AI modeling where it's like futuristic, it's modern, and you know, it's like data moving around. So those were like the three main ones, I think. So with those in mind, let's talk about the three things that you had talked about. You had talked about words and text. Yeah, I see little opportunity for words or text to enhance or drive the theme. I think you can have some fun with how you write the rules. This will also help shape how the players see themselves as players, what they're doing, whether they're the startographers, if they're trying to build or find constellations in the sky. This will give them like some sense of purpose. And that's kind of written into the rules. The patterns, the legends and tiles are all 100% wordless. I don't think you would put words on them. I think you could design them in a way to be like very visually appealing. We had somebody do some abstract art for the pieces early on, just as a test. Without words, they can be really cool looking. If they then fit into the theme of what the game is, all the better. If you feel like you're moving a rock or you're moving sand or you're finding a star, I think that enhances the experience, but no words on those. You talked about components, the board. We have this very generic 5x5 grid right now. The grid is really kind of necessary because we're forming boundaries when we visualize placements. So if I put a tile down and then I push it diagonally, you need a grid to track that. You can't just put things out in free space. That's really difficult to do if you didn't have a board. You could use a chessboard if you wanted to make the board bigger and go 8x8. The tiles, I think, is where the theme would live between the tiles and the pattern cards. Whatever we decide is the theme, whether that's currents or whether that's constellations, the tiles should reflect that. They should show that. And you're moving those things around. And then the patterns add that nice visual element. The last piece you talked about was the mechanics and how the mechanics, and I think this is where I want to start thinking a lot about, because the problems I think we're having, I think can be addressed if we decide on a theme. For example, if we decided, hey, let's go with currents. I think there's a really compelling case for one of our older versions of the game. I think it's version 12, where blue and orange still do what they do. Blue moves things orthogonally, up, down, left, right. Orange moves pieces diagonally. And then gray is the rock in the game. And in that version of the game, you could place gray straight down. And while that didn't seem like it was a very powerful move, it played that role of blocking. You would block your opponents, what you think is their shape, what their pattern could be. And you would block it with gray by just putting a piece straight down. It was the only piece that you could place on top of other tiles. Drop a rock into the water. That's what it does. It just kind of goes down. So I think that mechanic fits that theme incredibly well. Box it and ship it. Let's go.
I think there are holes that can be poked there. And we moved away from it for rules writing and more other mechanically driven reasons.
I know we did move away from it, but I mean, I could see a world where we came back to it. I don't think we've had that problem with one of the tiles, whether it's gray or whether it's one of the other colors. Two of the tiles, we've always liked the movement. One tile's always been like, how do we balance that? I think that was the most balanced version of the game, and it fits a theme. So I think there's a compelling case to like re-explore that at least a little bit as we're struggling to find a way to balance with just three colors. My point being, theme could help us lock down the mechanic because we keep changing what gray does. We keep changing how it moves the other pieces, how it affects the balance of the board. I think if we said, this is our theme, we narrow in on what the mechanics will be. If it's in the sky, then we think about how gray would affect. Maybe it is a fourth color. Maybe if we're doing the stars and the constellations, we bring in the fourth color. There's a lot of colors in space. So bringing in a fourth tile to balance out the movements could work. And to sum it all up, abstract is boring. This is the part of the game where somebody's like, yeah, you're right. Let's do that.
Well, I think this is the part of the game where we go back and be like, well, if you're a listener who happens to be in Discord, tell us what you think. I suppose, depending on who you ask, it is ultimately up to us to decide. Are we nudging? Are we budging?
I'm shocked just to see you on the other side of that. I think of anyone, you are the one most interested in layering in a theme. Now I am. I don't see it being just a purely abstract game. I haven't for a while.
I mean, I could come around to, so I'm of two minds. What I think I want is one, I would love to find a solution where we turn the volume down on the type two fun aspect. Barring that, I really just want the game to be beautiful. And I don't know if that's because I'm so tired of kind of the bland, like non-vibrant colors that we play with live and on playing cards, or if it's something very specific about the game that calls to me. Like, I know you like nice things. what I think of my ideal game shelf looking like, I would love to have a really beautiful chessboard and beautiful chess pieces. Playing on plastic pieces is fine, but if I'm going to buy a chessboard, I'm going to buy one that's pretty. Like, I want one that looks nice that I could leave out on my table and let my guests who come in take a move and have a game progress over. I want that pleasant to look at, pleasant experience in this game. Like, I want Currents to be beautiful to look at. And you could do that with a theme. It's just a question of implementation.
And cost?
You keep telling me we can make it pretty and have it still be on our budget.
I don't know if it'll be as pretty as you want it to be.
Stretch goal.
It would be a stretch goal. The Mark stretch goal down below. It's a $200 board. I just don't think that fits our game. I think we have a 15-minute game.
All I'm saying is there is something to... I can't believe I have to sell you on this. Like, there is something to the physical presentation of the thing that you're trying to sell.
I don't disagree with that. Like, that statement on its own is totally fine.
I think it is very valid to be like, well, let's make it a beautiful 15 minutes.
With a theme. Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, if we find a theme that's beautiful, let's go. I'm in. I can be in. I told you, I really like the stars theme.
Let me ask this. Let's go back to the beginning of the show, harmonies. You talked about the theme. Did you like the theme playing the game? Did that enhance it for you? Because you could have just played it. We could have made that game current style where the patterns are just like matching these block colors. I recollect you saying something cute about building your little habitat that the animals were going to come live in.
I think the highlight of the theming for harmonies for me is it's easy to visualize the story the game is trying to tell. In that I have my island, I pick up my wood and my stone, I build my tree, I build my mountain, I build the habitat, and that nice little cube that you pick up to place your animal on makes it very clear what you're doing thematically in the game. But in terms of the expressiveness of the components, it wasn't that pretty to, like, it wasn't that nice to look at, which is fine. Like, you know, we're talking about it. You're like, oh, it's not going to be as, Currents is not going to be as pretty as you want because it's very expensive to make it as pretty as you want. I understand that. But like, look at Hive. I think Hive is really beautiful.
Okay. You don't put harmonies on the same level as Hive? I don't believe that's true.
No, I think Hive is more... There's a different aesthetic, physical, and embodied experience in playing Hive that I personally enjoy more in the way the pieces look, in the way the pieces feel, in the way they move.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. Harmonies has a very pretty look, though. I would say Harmonies has a very objectively pretty feel to it.
I think the card art is beautiful.
But the board, the tableau in front of you, is just...
I can take it or leave it.
He left it.
The other thing about Harmonies is I think Harmonies needs its theme. I don't know that I believe Currents 100% needs a theme to solve the things that we're trying to solve.
Well, I think that's where you're right, where it's a good idea to invite other people into this conversation, like especially on Discord. Because while you may not want a theme, my wife wants a theme. Absolutely wants a theme. Does not want to play a game with just these colored cubes. Not interesting to her.
But see, I like Go. I like chess. I'm like chomping at the bit to play the Yinch games.
So a good question to ask is, who's our audience? What do they want? What do you think our audience is going to prefer? The people who would enjoy this type of game, do you think they are people who would think the game is more interesting because it has a theme? Or do you think they're like, ah, whatever, I'm just going to crush you?
It's funny because I ran into kind of those extremes at Gen Con. I ran into a person who put me onto this idea of just make the game beautiful. And Rivers and Stones is just beautiful. Like, there's the, like, I can feel the rivers and the stones moving in that game, in the puzzle that I got to do when I learned how to play. But like, it's just nice to look at. I would enjoy sitting down and playing Rivers and Stones the theme is there if you look for it, but I could just let that wash away while I play the game because of how the game looks and how the game physically feels.
Well, then let me ask you, how do you solve the problem? So I think in part of my argument, I was using theme to solve for some of our problems, the feel of the game, the balance of pieces, the complexity. How do you solve for those without theme? You said earlier in this podcast that we've been going through this process where we're just like, we change a rule, we test it out, we don't like it, we change a rule, we test it out, we haven't liked it. How do we get to the phase where we go, yeah, this is the game, we like this?
I think two answers. One, I think we have been moving in that direction. I've really enjoyed the version 14. I think the balance problem is like the primary thing that holds you back from really wanting that version, right?
I agree with you. I really like the version 14 rules the way that they're written, but not the way it plays. It plays in a way that gray wins substantially more than the other colors. Now, we don't have 500 tests. We have like 10 tests, 15 tests. Almost all of those are gray winning.
So, like, you've already identified kind of like what would be the next iterative steps over 14. And you also identified that you think version 12 is the most balanced version that we've played. Why would we add a theme to this process when we have identified versions and solutions through the process that we've been using that could bring us to solutions that would allow us to call the game complete?
That's quite a hypothetical. You're telling me that if we can balance the game and get it to where we want it without a theme, then we don't need a theme. Okay, sure.
I'm saying that
the logic makes sense.
The process has been guiding us in that direction, though.
That's the way we've been going, yes. But we're not to the point yet where we have found that balance. We're not there yet.
That's true.
So you're saying, hypothetically, if we get there, why would we have a theme? Well, I could ask you the question the same way. If theme gets us to balance and solves all our problems, why don't we just put a theme on it? Isn't that just the same circular logic?
I think it would depend on the parameters in which you add the theme. And how would the mechanics or how would the game change with the theme added? Because if you were just, say, I know this is more hypothetical and I'm on the record in places of not liking these, but say you're like, okay, the game is stars and we're going to do the constellations version, but we don't do anything to make the theme show up. You just keep making the same changes.
I hear you, but that's not doing it to the theme. That's just trying to layer something on top of it that shouldn't be there.
I rest my case. I don't believe, you have swayed me enough that I don't believe that we have to 100% decide right in this moment that we should abandon the prospect of a theme.
And look, I will say that you've persuaded me to be like, maybe, because for the last month or so, I have said, we have to have a theme. You have persuaded me enough to go, maybe it's just pretty. Maybe it just looks good, but still be cardboard and sell for under $25.
The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at buymeacoffee.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our form at themisplay.com/sponsors. The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com. Oh.
What are you even reading? That's not even the thing in the episode. It's just in your head?
Yeah.